The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 13, where it says, "Till we all come together in a unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto," it says, "the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." I want to speak to you tonight on which yardstick should you use? Which yardstick should you use? You know, many times we can measure things. I know my wife does a lot of sewing. Matter of fact, if you girls play volleyball here and you're part of the volleyball league, my wife may get a lady or two to help. I don't know. I know that in the house when I come in, we have a kitchen area. We have a long counter that's in the kitchen area. May I tell you, our long counter is used for many, many, many purposes. When we have people over the house, you know, they'll come out and we put all the food against the long counter or on the long counter. They'll go by, they'll serve their plates, and then they come into the open area. They sit at the table, and that's where they eat. So it's used for that purpose. But when it comes volleyball time, it's used for a whole lot more than that. I mean, boy, she has these patterns all over that long counter. And then she has a ways to measure. She'll use a yardstick. She'll use a tape measure. She'll use all sorts of things to be able to measure, to get the right length, to make sure everything is correct. And so it takes a lot of time for her to do that. By the way, anything that is worth doing, stay with it, is worth doing right. Is that right? And so it is good to be able to do things the right way. But sometimes we will measure things differently. Let me give you some ways that people measure things. Sometimes we measure things by what we think. Here's what the Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And ye shall not do after the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes." All right, so the Bible says that in this particular day, what they did is they did things that was right in their own eyes. Sometimes it may seem right, may look right, may make sense, may feel right, may even sound right, but it might not be the right thing. Here's what it says. The Bible says, listen to it, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Here's what Paul said. Paul said, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." So here's what Paul said. He said, "I can't trust my own flesh." One of my boys came to me one day and said, "Hey, Dad, how much do you trust me?" I said, "I trust you about as far as I can throw you." That's about it. Okay, Paul said, here's what I said to him. I said that Paul couldn't even trust his own flesh. What makes you think I'm going to trust yours? You know, it is very important that we understand that our flesh can deceive us. Our own thinking, our own logic, our own feelings, our own understanding. That's why the Bible gives so many verses. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So it is not my responsibility to choose my own direction. It's not my responsibility to choose my own appearance. It is not my responsibility to choose my own friends, choose my own vocation, morals, standards, convictions, or decisions. Somebody says, "Well, I feel, I think, I believe," is going to mess up. It needs to be founded on the Word of God. You know, God is not really concerned about what you think about your music. God is not really concerned about what you think about what you wear. God's not concerned about that. God's not concerned about what we think about what type of friends we should have or with what we're watching. Is it right or wrong? God's not concerned about what we think about social drinking or gambling. He's not concerned about what we think about smoking or abortion. He's not concerned about what we think. It doesn't matter what we think about tithing, about going soul winning, about faithful church attendance. He's not concerned about what we think. He's not concerned about what we think about holy living, purity, living righteously. Here's what God is concerned about. God is concerned about that we put our thoughts in line with his thoughts. Kenny, come here. Here's what happens, though. What happens is we think that our thoughts are important, and so what we do is we measure things by our thoughts. And here's what we do. If it's close to what we think, hold that, come right over here. If it's close to what we think, then we think it's okay. But if it's a great distance away from we think, then we think, okay, wrong decision. We're not supposed to base things on what we think. How many of you ever thought something and it was an uh-oh, wrong thought? Raise your hand. Been there, done that, ate the banana myself. You know, sometimes we think the wrong things. How many of you said something, wish you wouldn't have said it? Raise your hand. You ready? How many of you said something, wish you wouldn't have said it, and said it again? How many of you got angry and you said an unchristian word? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Okay, now wait a minute. Here's what we understand. We understand this. We can think the wrong thing. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right? So we got to be careful to guard our hearts. We have to be careful about that. All right? So here's what we got to be careful about. Don't measure, if you will, please, if something is right or wrong according to your thoughts. Your thoughts may be on path by the word of God or may be off path. Again, you come back to the Bible. All right? Here's what we got. We understand this. We understand that there's measuring ways. There's that which is the yardsticks that we use in our life. Statement number one, what we think. Here's a different yardstick. Different yardstick is what others do. Okay? Marcus, come. What others do. All right? So here we got a different yardstick. You got, just point it this way. Stand back here and point it that way. There you go. You got it. All right? So there's a different yardstick. Now, by the way, the more yardsticks you get in your life, the more confused you get. That's how come the Bible needs to be the standard. Thus saith the Lord. Okay? Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. The Bible says we dare not make ourselves of a number, or it says, or compare ourselves to some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, the average Christian, here's how they think that they're a good Christian. They measure themselves by somebody else. They have somebody in their life, and if they measure up to that person, they think, okay, I must be a good Christian now, because after all, look at what they're doing. May I say that there's no person in here that's perfect. And no matter who you measure yourself up to, you'll never meet the full measure of Christ until you have him as your goal. I mean, you'll never be perfect on this earth. Do you understand that? Do you understand that we can say, okay, watch this. You know, you say, well, man, it looks pretty good. Looks prettier than a pig. Well, what a comparison. By the way, Craigs, welcome back. Glad you're here. Your class prayed for you this morning. That is neat. When did you get in? God bless you. Glad you're here. So somebody says, I tell you what, man, that person is prettier than a pig. Well, that's not a compliment. All right? Somebody else says, boy, that person's richer than a chicken. Not a compliment. Person says, boy, that person's smarter than a sheep. Really not a compliment. Person says, boy, he's taller than a mouse. Some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Boy, he's stronger than a butterfly. Boy, look at him go, man. Look at him go. Man, he's running down the court. He's faster than a turtle. It's not a compliment. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I've got a good marriage. This is my fifth. Man, I'll tell you, I'm a good Christian. I go to church every Easter. I have a happy home. The police has only been by my house twice this week. I want you to know I wear modest clothing. I really do. Look, I have some on. I don't smoke or... Thank you. I don't smoke or drink, so I must be right with God. What happens is this. We measure ourselves many times by other people. You know, you're not supposed to choose your clothes, what you wear. God is. You're not supposed to choose the music you listen to. God is. You're not supposed to choose the entertainment. God is. You're not supposed to choose your friends. God is. You're not supposed to choose the words that you say. Check in with the master. God is. You're not supposed to choose the actions that you display. You're supposed to let God. He says, look, he says, for we dare not make ourselves of a number. Don't pat yourself on the back and say, look at me, and compare yourself with somebody else, especially those that are commending themselves of how well they're doing. He says, and measuring themselves among themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. He said, that's just not wise. All right, so what do we do? Here's what we do. Sometimes, here's what we do. We measure others by our opinion. Sometimes we measure if we're right or wrong by what others do. We compare ourselves. You know, must be a good Christian. I'll tell you what, he stopped drinking last week. We compare ourselves. Must be a good Christian. Wow, he only said one curse word this week. We compare ourselves to somebody else. What about taking the Bible and comparing yourself to the Bible? All right, now wait a minute. Here's how we measure ourselves. Sometimes we measure ourselves by our thoughts. Sometimes we measure ourselves by others. Sometimes we measure ourselves by what authority requires. Okay, here we go. Give me, I tell you, come help me if you will. By what authority requires. Okay, so here you got these two guys over there, and here you got right authority over here. All right, right authority says this, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, okay, if you're a child, sixth grade and below, would you stand? A child, sixth grade and below. Here's what God says. God says, you want to know if you're right with me? Here's what he says, sixth grade and below. Are you ready? Here's what he says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So what you're supposed to do when mom and dad tells you to do something, you're not supposed to give them lip. You're not supposed to sass them. You're not supposed to say, I'll do it later. You're supposed to say, yes, ma'am, I'll be glad to. And you're supposed to step out. You say, but my mom and dad are harsh. Man, they tell me to wash the dishes and we got a dishwasher. They're trying to teach you character. Oh, but my mom and dad, they tell me to make the bed and I'm going to sleep in it tonight. What's the sense? They're teaching you character. Mom and dad says, pick up your own clothes. Put your own clothes in the dirty clothes hamper. Wash your own clothes. Dry your own clothes. Fold your own clothes. Iron your own clothes. Nothing wrong with that. Mom and dad, by the way, mom and dad says, help me to cook something tonight. Nothing wrong. Dad says, hey, would you mow? Hey, I need you to mow the lawn. I still say this. I believe that if there's a boy that you can trust with a mower. If there's a boy you can trust with a mower and he's physically able to do so, dad should never have to touch the mower. Mom should never have to touch the mower. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Hey, when they're old enough to learn about cooking and they can read, let them try. Let them eat it first, but let them try. You've got to train them somewhere. Hey, look, teach them some etiquette about church. No running in the hallway. Yeah. Teach them some etiquette. No chewing gum in church. Teach them some etiquette. Stand up when an adult comes to shake your hand. Teach them some etiquette about things in church. No texting in church. No talking in church. No writing love notes to the girl you hope to find 5 years from now. Teach them some things etiquettely about church. Teach them the open doors for the ladies. Hey, no better time to start than with their children. Teach them to be kind to those that are older than they. Teach them. Teach them to dress up for what's important and dress casual for things that's not as important. But teach them those things, okay? Thank you. Be seated. Hey, wait a minute. Here's what it says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're a teenager, stand up. You know, isn't it amazing in the Bible that God does not have the word teenager in the Bible? Isn't that amazing? Brother McCarty, you can search the Bible all the way through. Never find the word teenager anywhere. Can't find the word teen. But do they exist? Do they really exist? What is that creature walking down the hallway that's bigger than the little one? I'll tell you, it's a big one. You know the same, are you listening to me? God still, you don't like this, you ready? I know you're not going to like me, but here it is. God calls you a child. You say, oh man, it hurts me. I'm a child. Yes. You got a bigger rattler. You got a bigger bottle. You take a bigger diaper. But God says you're a child. Now, so tell me about this, will you? Why is it that you think you know as much as mom and dad? Well, I'll tell you what, I got my opinion. Keep it. Keep it. Man, don't say it. Keep it. Amen. Well, you know, I think that I could educate my mom and dad. You're having a hard time reading. What are you talking about? You know, I just wish that they would listen to me. Okay, can I tell you something? Here's what happens. When you're a child, you look at your parents and you think they know everything. They know everything. Dad, what do you think? Mom, what should I do? Then all of a sudden they become a teenager and they start moving away in their mind. And they start thinking, man, I'll tell you what, that's just dad's opinion. Well, if dad's opinion is different than your opinion, then his is better. It's better. Look, mom shouldn't have to explain to you why to make the bed. Mom says, hey, make the bed. Well, can you explain to me why? She doesn't have to explain why. Make the bed. She don't, come on, listen, come on, say amen. Your parents should not have to prove to you anything. They've already proved to you by letting you exist. You're eating in their house. You are putting your feet under their table. They are giving you free food, free lodging, free clothes, free dental work. Some of you got free braces. And yet you have the audacity to look at your parents and say, I'm not going to do that. Hey, shame on you. I said, shame on you. Hey, if you want to run your own life, get out and go run your own life. But if you're living at home, be quiet and obey. Yeah. By the way, whatever happened to the happy heart? Oh, come on. Okay, wait. Girl comes down. Girl comes out in the living room, you know, and all of a sudden you got something on. You listen to me? Listen to me well. You've got something on that doesn't please your mom or your dad. Oh, but mom and dad, there's nothing wrong with it. If it doesn't please them, it's everything wrong with it. You say, well, they shouldn't tell me what to wear. They should tell you everything to wear. You say, you sound like that I'm supposed to be a servant. You make it sound like I'm supposed to obey them. Dad says, jump. I don't feel like it. Mom says, hey, look, we're going to go to the store. Need you to go with me. Well, I'm kind of busy. Forget all that stuff. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Hey, let's practice. You want to? Here we go. On a count of three. Yes, ma'am. One, two, three. Yes, ma'am. That didn't hurt, did it? Well, I almost gagged when I got it out. Say yes, sir. You ready? One, two, three. One. I didn't say three yet. One, two, three.
Yes, sir.
You didn't die. So why don't you go home and practice it? Yeah, huh? Do I have to? I mean, come on. Hey, get off of it. You decide that mom and dad are worthy of that which is respect. You say, well, they never taught me that. Okay, then you got a preacher that's saying something. Go home and respect your parents. Be seated. Here we go. If you're an old man over 102, stand up. Never mind. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Now that's talking about those that work for others, masters according to the flesh. So God says if you have a boss, you're supposed to obey. Amen. Boss says you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock. You don't come in at 8:05.
Right.
Boss says this is the way we're going to run the company. Then that's the way the company's run.
Right.
You say, but I disagree with the way the boss says to run it. Too bad. So sad. You don't own it.
Right.
You're working for him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. The word soul is comprised of three things. It's the mind, the will, and the emotion. So the Bible says this. The Bible says we're supposed to obey them that have the rule over us and submit ourselves. Now, why? For they watch for your souls, that they may give It says, account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 18, servants, be subject unto your masters with all fear. Not only it says to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. You know, I'm supposed to obey that guy that's ornery? He don't come to church, or he don't come to work, or he don't come to the place where I am, ornery, once in a while. He's always ornery. Okay, you know what that means? That means you need orneriness in your life. Because God gave him to you. That means something in your life that you need. Oh, wait a minute. Here's what it says. Now, by the way, it says, submit yourselves unto every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, says, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that sent him for punishment of evildoers, for they, watch what it says, they praise them that do well. Listen to this verse. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 15. It says, for so is the will of God that we do well, it says, and may put, it says, a sincere and ignorance to foolish men. All right, so what is he saying here? He says, so this is the will of God. Now, what do? I submit to those that are there because it's a doing well. So that means children are supposed to submit to their parents. That's a right thing. Students are supposed to submit to their teachers. That's a right thing. Employees to the bosses, right thing. Members to the pastor, right thing. Those that's in the bus ministry to the bus director, right thing. Wives to the husbands, right thing. Citizens to the government, right thing. Those that are team players to that which is the coach, right thing. That means that we're supposed to submit, if you will. Now, wait a minute. What is that? That is what authorities say. Let me give you just two more. You ready? Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 31. Here's what it says about Bible commands. It says, therefore shall ye keep my commands and do them. I am the Lord. Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14 and verse 15. Here's what it says. He says, and you love me? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 13, he says, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. All right, what is the Christian life all about? He said, let me tell you the whole conclusion. He said, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. All right, so here's what he's saying. He says, if the Bible commands it, we're supposed to do it. All right, so if the Bible, if the Bible commands it, we're supposed to do it. Now, I want to show you something. If authority is in line with the Bible, over here, if authority is in line with the Bible and the Bible commands it, you got more strength here than going by that which you think or going by what others say. You know, over here is confusion. Over here is direction. All right? Watch this, if you will. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. All right, so what am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to choose whether I go to church or not if it's a duty. Is that right? Now, God says this. He said, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. So God said, I'm not supposed to forsake church. Not supposed to forsake it. It's a duty. It's a duty. That means if it's a duty, I'll be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'll go out soul winning. I'm just going to be where that assembly is. All right? Then he says this. He says, to bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and proving there wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, such as you not be able to receive it. So what am I supposed to do? If God said that, then I'm supposed to bring the tithes. All right, so I'm supposed to tithe. Is that right? Talk to me. Is that right? All right. Then the Bible says we're supposed to read the Bible. It says, give us this day our daily bread. I don't pray about it. Just do it. There's some commands there. All right. Wait a minute. Here's what he says. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. He says this. He says, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Here's what he says. He says, come out from among them and be separate. Save the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father unto you. All right, so what am I doing? I'm obeying what he says to do. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All right, it's telling me some things that I ought to do. Living above reproach. The Bible says, what know you not that you're bought with a price? Doing all these things. All right, now wait a minute. So he said I'm supposed to glorify him in my body, in my spirit, which are God's. All right, so what am I doing? I'm obeying those commandments. When I was reading through my Bible as a young Christian, I gave the illustration. I got bored. How can you get bored with the Bible? I got bored. I was reading it, and it was boring to me. Somebody said this. Let me give you a challenge. Why don't you go through the Bible and find all of the commands of God? Underscore them in blue. So I went through the Bible. I didn't realize God had so many commands. He had a bunch of commands. All right, so I went through, found out all the commands. Then somebody said, now that you do that, go through your Bible and find out everything that God hates. What does he hate? Is there something that God hates? You know, abomination, hatred, hateth, hating, things God hates. He said, underscore it in red. I went through the Bible and found out everything that God hates. But now it's getting interesting. Then somebody said, go through the Bible and find out the things that God loves. So I went through and I circled the things in black, the things that God loves. All right? And what I was doing, then they said, go through your Bible and find out everything that God requests. It's not something he commands, not something he hates, not something that he loves. It's just a general asking, would you be willing to do this? I've got a request of you. So I went through the Bible and I found out all the requests that God had. By the way, by the time I got done going through the Bible multiple times, finding all these things, I found out I knew the Bible pretty well. And I found out that by knowing the Bible pretty well, I was letting God guide my life. Why? Because I found the commands of the Bible. Now, may I say this? I'm done. Here it is. We got one more. All right? Here's what happens sometimes. Sometimes we do this. Joey, come here. and we just stop. But God wants us to go a step farther here. God wants us to take that which we see in the Bible, that which we understand authorities are directing us to do in the Bible, and go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Be extra friendly. Go extra soul winning. Carry gospel tracts where you go. Well, I was so proud. A lady that came this morning, we went over to see Mrs. Williams. Brother Aaron was my soul winning partner in the afternoon. We spent all afternoon together. That'll ruin you. We spent all afternoon together, and we're out just spending time together and talking. And I love it because he asked all these philosophy questions. And what do you think about this? And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, we get done, I feel drained. But we went soul winning, follow-up in the afternoon. We went over to see Mrs. Williams. Man, when we went in to see Mrs. Williams, and she's in this care facility, I'm telling you, told about this morning, looks like you're going to some type of mountain place. Beautiful. Walked in the front corridor, receptionist was there. I said, look, how do I get in? Well, no, you're in. No, I want a room. This is nice. Went down, saw Mrs. Williams, spent time with her. You know, of course, she's happy. She said, man, there's so many church people. She said, let me tell you, the church is my family. She said, people have come by here. I've had surgery. They have loved on me. They have encouraged me. I've never felt so loved in my entire life. She said, this is absolutely amazing. And so walked out. Dear lady was standing out there. I was joking with all of them. And I said, man, this is absolutely, where do I sign up? Got to get in this place. Where do you sign up? What's the food like? Man, you got a nice resume. What's the food like? I mean, can I get in? Is it okay? Can I get in? You know, and we're just joking around. And I said, man, you got a great spirit. I appreciate you. I joke with people all the time, try to lighten their spirit a little bit. You've got a great spirit. Let me ask you a question. Where do you go to church? She said, oh, I don't go anywhere. I said, what a shame. I said, you need to be in church. Well, let me ask you this. More important in church, if something were to happen to you and you died, where would you go? She said, well, I don't know. I appreciate Garth and his wife taking her home for me, by the way, this afternoon. Did a great job. Thank you. You know, and so she said, you know, I don't know. I said, well, I don't want to get you in trouble. I don't want to do that. It's your work. I don't want to take away from your employee. And she just happened to be finishing up her break. And I said, I'd like to talk to you. Is that okay? She said, oh, it'd be wonderful. We went over, sat down at the table, took out my New Testament, laid it there, verse upon verse, bowed her heart, received Christ. I said, what's your work schedule? She said, well, I'm off tomorrow. I said, why don't you come? I said, look, give me a call, Mrs. Wells, and I come. I will pick you up. And so I didn't know it. She called my phone this morning 3 times. Very seldom do I ever look at my phone in between or before services. I'm just busy. I'll look at it when I go home or something like that. But I'm just busy. I just don't mess with it. And I never bring it to the preaching service. It's always in the... So if you call me during preaching trying to get me, you won't get me. You won't get me. I was preaching for Dr. Dave Baker one time. He had this big sign here. You remember that? Was you there? Big sign here, turn your cell phones off. There was a guy in the sound room, knew Brother Baker had his cell phone on. Service time. Big sign here for his staff. You'd be amazed what's up here. Turn your cell phone off. Big sign. So one of the staff guys thought, hey, I'm going to get pastor. That's what I'm going to do. He's in the sound booth. All of a sudden, he calls pastor. Pastor's in the middle of preaching. And his cell phone goes off. Well, the bad thing about that, when your cell phone goes off, it shows who called you. So he looks back to the sound booth and said, you're fired. Now, he was kidding, of course. But you know, I'm saying this. I'm saying Turn your cell phone off is what I'm saying. Here's what we understand. We understand this. We understand that God is the one that can work. We understand there's confusion sometimes. Sometimes we think something or we compare ourselves to somebody else. Teenagers have a big problem with this one. Well, you know, so-and-so's doing it, so it must be okay. Not if God says it's not okay. You're going to find out that people measure things differently. What does authority require? What does the Bible say? Here's the last one. You ready? What pleases God most? How does God prioritize it? What pleases God most? Here's what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm done. Here it is. It says, for as much as we beseech you, brethren, to exhort you by the Lord Jesus, listen to what it says, as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. All right? Now, wait a minute. Listen to what it says. And ye do so, it says, would abound more and more. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to add to it more and more. I'm supposed to do it more and more, more and more, more and more. When you get bit about soul winning, here's what you do. You wind up carrying tracks with you more and more, more and more. You get bit about a good song, a spiritual song. What do? You sing it more. Have you ever done this? You're walking down the mall. You're walking to an area and a tune. Hopefully the right one. But a tune is in your head and you start singing it. By the way, only the right tune should be in your head. What's in the heart comes out. There needs to be some rules in the house. We won't watch anything that has rock music in it. Boy, we're quiet. Why are you quiet? We won't watch anything that has country and western in it. Well, I got more amens on that. So we got people that like rock music, but won't watch anything that has cursing in it. Can I help you out a little bit? If you're not going to let somebody in your living room come in and do it, then why are you bringing it in via through the television? Bible talks about thinking on certain things. Those things are always clean. Clean. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't even touch it with your brain. Come on. Here's what it says. You didn't like that one? I'll move on. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says this. For whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and listen to it now, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So it's one thing to hear it, one thing to know it, even understand it. It's another thing to do it. My Bible says, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to decide that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the right thing. Let me give you one more verse. Can I do it? Then I'll close for the eighth time. John chapter 8, verse 29. The Bible says, he that sent me, wait a minute, says, he that sent me, it says, is with me. The Father hath not sent me alone, for I am always, let's do it now, for I do always those things that please him. Here's my question. Do you always do the things that please him? Say, preacher, you're expecting perfection. No, just obedience. And by the way, you might not be all the way over here right now. Are you listening to me? Might not be all the way over here right now, but you should be trying harder. Instead of the bad words, new Christian, so the bad words flowing out of your mouth, it should be, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Instead of you entertaining the wrong thoughts, maybe it should be, I knew that was wrong, I'm not going to do that. Hey, by the way, this is called holy living. The more holier you live onto God, the more God will use you. The more God will fill you. If you got trash in, it's hard for God to work through you. Here's what Paul said. He prayed. He said, I pray that the Holy Ghost would have free course, listen to it now, through me. Through me. Thank you. Be seated. Give the yardsticks. I'll put them on that chair right there. There you go. Years ago, I owned a trailer, Columbia, Mississippi. Had an idea. One of the pipes cracked. I said, look, I'm not calling a plumber. I can figure this out. I can do it. I'm going to fix the pipe. Look, fixing a pipe, what is that? You turn the water off, what is that? You saw it right where it's, you know, above the crack, below. What is that? Anybody can do that. You know, I don't need no plumber. You know, I can go out there and I can get the joint, the fixture that would join the pipes. I can do that, no problem. I'll get some glue. You put the glue on there. So I went out, bought some monkey glue. Heard it was good stuff. Isn't that what it's called, monkey glue? Gorilla glue. That's the cousin of the monkey. That's it. Bigger version. Wrong monkey. Okay. Got the Gorilla Glue, crawled up under there, sawed it. Man, I was doing great. Put the Gorilla Glue on there. I didn't know that Gorilla Glue swells. I know that. So I thought, man, this is great. Hey! Closed up the metal all around the bottom of the trailer. Walked away, pat myself on the back. Gonna go get a burger. Great. Turned the water on, left, came back, all of a sudden looked underneath the trailer. There was a flood. I thought, what in the world? Got, it's a bad monkey. Got up underneath the trip, took the metal off, got up underneath the trailer, started examining it. The glue held good, but it stopped up the water so much, the pressure, pipe was broke there. Said, so what'd you do? Called the plumber. Sometimes we think we can fix it. Sometimes we just need to go to God and say, God, look, whatever you say, I'll do exceptionally well. Exceptionally well. I'll do it to the point of excellence. I will give it more than what I gave it before. Not concerned about this right here. Not even concerned about what I think. What I'm concerned about is what you think. Here it is. And then what I'll do is I will give it everything I've got. The Bible's not hard to understand. It's hard to obey. And we have to decide we'll obey what the Bible says, regardless of what we feel.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.